It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Here we are in the second week of Deer Camp. And hope you got a big one on the opening day or not. I'm sure we're going to cover a little bit of that during the show today. But I'm Jop, and he is back. Barbecue Bob is back from Deer Camp. Welcome back, brother.
Hey, thanks. Good to be in the nice warm weather again.
Yeah.
It's like Florida today. Wow, what a strange opener.
Yeah.
The weather was all over the place.
Right, lots of wind, lots of rain where
yes,
we were.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but it was miserable to be out there. So miserable I didn't go out. I just looked out the window.
Well, you know, a campfire always takes care of a lot of that. And this year, of course, I brought the land yacht up, and it has a big awning, so I have a piece of AstroTurf, or you know, the green green carpet that I carry inside the belly of it and the beast, and rolled that out under the canopy, and I have a nice little patio spot right next to the fire pit. It worked out perfect. So
yeah.
Even in the rain, it didn't matter.
Just as long as your back's to the wind, right?
And it was. It worked out pretty good.
Yep.
But yeah, crazy weather. But it's good to be back. By the time I came home, I was up there about 5 days. And by the time I came home, I was ready for some heat. Even though it was warm inside, we still spent a ton of time outside.
Oh, you do. Yeah, you're sitting around the fire, you're walking around the woods, you're sitting in your stand. It's all outside, and while it might not be frigid, it just chills you to the bone, especially if you're wet.
Yeah, you know? And we had, about the third or fourth night, I sat inside with a book.
Ah.
And they were jabbing me because I wasn't coming out by the fire, but it was like I had been cold all day. And it was so nice inside.
Right.
And I have this book I'm trying to finish up, and I just thought, man, this would be a good time to just make a cocktail and sit inside and read my book. So that's what I did.
Right.
I just had one cocktail that night. I was proud of myself because Deer Camp can get a little crazy.
Oh, it always does. It always does. I tell you that ours was a little different as well, and I'm betting that some of our listeners feel the same way. COVID had a negative impact on the camps where I went. You know that I just go and visit Siciliano's Market. Their family has a camp. And then Sobey Meats, Tim Sobey, he has a camp. And I visited both of those on Saturday before the opener was on Sunday. And they're vastly different this year. The participation was a third to a quarter of the normal guys that were there. And then secondly, you know, part of the fun is guys do what we do. You roll around and you visit other camps. None of that happened. There was purposeful attendance. You were kind of on an invite list only, and you didn't really roam around and check stuff out. And it was just different. It was just really different than, you know, in years past, I'd seen 30 guys standing around a big fire, all passing a bottle. Now they got little cups that they hand out to everybody because nobody wants to get COVID. And you know, then, like I said, maybe 10 guys were there as opposed to 30 during the whole time I was there. It was a little disappointing, quite frankly.
And, yeah, you can't let it run your life.
No,
you can't. It's getting ridiculous.
But it was, you know, I'm thinking I'm outdoors, and there were even a few guys standing around the campfire with a mask on, and I guess that's social distancing and all that. And I'm not telling anybody to wear or not wear a mask.
No.
That's up to them personally. But it was just really different, man, and it kind of took the wind out of my sails for it. I was like, man, this is a lot to do about nothing this year. But hopefully next year we'll have all this crap behind us and we'll move forward. But
I had a great encounter with a buck. Didn't see a lot of deer. The movement was really slow. And I had a great encounter. I went to my favorite spot because I put the guys in, you know, well, the guy who owns the land goes to the same spot every time if he goes out. And so I brought my brother-in-law, Paul, up. He's a plumber from Jonesville, Michigan, and he's like, you know, one of my favorite brothers. And we just had a ball. So I wanted to make sure and put him in good spots, and I tried to keep, you know, all. And I took the leftovers, very much like I do when I take my boys up. I'll give them the good spots.
Sure,
I'll kind of play sweep, clean up afterwards. So I thought by about the second or third day, it's like, okay, I'm going in a good spot today. I know where the deer are. I'm not seeing them where I'm my other spots, so I know where to go. So 5 minutes into my tree stand, I hear crunch, crunch, crunch. It's a cruiser buck coming right at me. And I'm like, cool, cool. And it was a 6-point, maybe 2.5-year-old, beautiful deer, beautiful rack, perfect rack. In 2 or 3 years, he's going to be ruling the land if he makes it. So he came right up to me, and he's a little suspicious, and I wasn't going to shoot him. But right about then, my buddy who owns the land goes, he lets out a big old cough. He's got respiratory issues, and he's a big cougher and sneezer and big guy. And he's in this wooden box that I keep telling him, you're in a speaker box.
Yep.
And it was so loud that the deer just bolted.
Right.
So he runs off towards a hill. And he stands there and looks back like, what the heck was that? Nobody chasing me? Okay. So he saunters up the hill. He's back in the cruising mode. And he's gone. Then, from behind me, heading east, 20 yards away, comes a doe. And I can tell she's in heat. She's a hot doe. And I'm like, oh, dang it.
I'm not going to ask you how you know that.
That'd be a good one to know. You can tell. Very often they'll keep their tail straight up in the air as they walk.
I see. Got to advertise if you want to
yes,
catch anything.
Yes,
you
know? That's right. Yeah. I've seen you do a dance, something like
right,
that.
Right.
Anyway, she goes by real, you know, not looking at anything, just like in a daze, kind of dopey. You know, they're all horned up. And she walks off over to the center of the property. And I just about then I thought, I wonder if that buck is about directly downwind of her now. Sure enough, he comes up to the top of the hill. He's looking around. He runs down the hill, and he's looking right where she went. And he's just standing there staring. And I'm thinking, oh, I know where she's at, and she isn't moving.
Right.
And this went on for about 5 minutes.
Kind of fun, though.
And he's just real bold, you know, making his stance. And pretty soon she comes running back, and she runs right at him and comes within about 2 feet and cuts left and goes up that same hill.
Yep.
Tail in the air, and he looks up that hill, and he's like, I'm coming!
Yeah.
He went booking after her. And it was just cute, you know?
Yep.
It's
right.
One of the cooler things to watch.
Yep.
Brother Paul, it was his first time with a bow, so I borrowed a crossbow for him. And he wasn't paying attention when my buddy Joe told him how to unload it.
Uh-oh.
And he dry-fired it.
Oh.
So he now owns a bow. He owns a crossbow.
Did he blow it up?
He cracked an arm. So I took it down to Alan Bob's last night. And Merle's putting it on the bench and ordering new arms for it. And we're going to get it ship-shaped for him. And he's going to buy him a bunch of bolts and get him a target. And he's going to be... He loved it. He
yeah.
loved being, you know, having to let the deer get close. And
yeah.
he saw more deer, even though I'm complaining about the number of deer. He hunts in the UP. He's got that cottage up by Munising.
Right.
And they don't see any deer anymore.
Right.
So he said, I saw more deer on this trip than I've seen in the last 10 years in the UP.
Right.
Because I kept putting him in good spots. So he was getting looks.
Right.
But he was cautious because
yeah.
didn't have any time
Speaking
to practice.
Speaking of crossbows, my goddaughter, Charlie's daughter, got a crossbow, and she's hunting with it this year.
Nice.
She put her thumb up in the string, and it about took the end of her thumb right off.
Oh, no.
You know, she held her forearm. She rolled her hand.
Oh,
up a
no.
little bit, and that string wasn't the bolt, but it was the string. Snapped the top of her thumb, man. Took her fingernail, boom.
Oh,
just
gonna be
nasty.
Ugly.
Yeah, just hurt.
Bet she's still
really
in pain.
Sore. But anyway,
how
do you make that go away? My favorite thing from deer camp was Elijah Craig bourbon has a little holiday pack with a jar of juice that comes with it, which is pre-mixed old fashioned. Mixer.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me.
No, it's got the cherry juice and the bitters and everything right with it.
Oh, perfect.
And you put a little of that Elijah Craig over ice, and you just dump a little bit of that in there, and you got a perfect old-fashioned,
well,
man.
You know,
not dinking around with all those bottles. It was like, okay, there's my best find to do.
That is great news.
All right, coming up next, if you were lucky enough to get some venison, we might talk about roasting its leg. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys, and this is our post-opener show. We're falling into your grill, hopefully, with a little bit of venison.
You're so funny.
Again, I am not an avid deer hunter, so I don't pursue venison that much. I just like going out in the woods. But Barbecue Bob, you came back from camp empty-handed. But like you said in the previous segment, you gave your good spots to your guests.
Well,
which is,
I'm picky.
Yeah,
I will take a doe over a small buck. I just won't shoot young bucks.
Right.
And I don't need the meat that bad.
Yeah.
I've got Tim Sobey to take care of that.
Exactly.
And if I was hunting for olive oil, I wouldn't need any of that either. But anyway, thanks to Alan Bob's, I have lots of good equipment, guns, bullets, bows, right. Arrows, and I do enjoy the sport thoroughly, but with my new career path, I'm just new enough, and I'm trying to work as much as possible.
Sure.
And I want to make as much money as possible.
Well, that's a good thing.
In my old age.
Right.
So I just took like 5 days, 6 days, something like that. But what worked out great is taking the motorhome. I was going to put my mule on the back because I bought it from Paul, my brother-in-law Paul.
Right.
And about like the day before, I called him and I said, "Hey, I'm really busy trying to get all this stuff loaded." I said, "How about if we use that new mule of yours?" Because he's got a nice hauling trailer for it and everything. And he goes, "Yeah, I can do that." Fortunately, we did, because his has power steering.
Oh.
And going through those woods, articulating and careful and all that stuff. Definitely have to be on your game. But so we had a nice mule to take all our stands around with and everything, and to haul our deer back with, but we didn't have to do that. But if I would have.
Right. If I would, I surely could.
One nice thing to do is to roast a leg.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick a hind leg. And, of course, you're taking the skin off it. You're going to, in your process, I mean, if you field dress and if you process your own meat, of course, you're going to skin it. And then you're going to do whatever method you have towards taking the meat from your carcass. And one nice thing you can do is just cut those muscles around the back leg and just take the whole leg and, of course, buzz it off above the knee. And
with like a bone saw.
Yep. And now there's lots and lots of ways to cook that thing.
Mm-hmm. And I prefer it boneless rather than bone-in. You could take it to a meat saw once you've got it done and cut your steaks out of it, and you get your round steaks, right? That leg bone that's in there, continue. But I prefer it in a boneless format. I think it's a little more versatile for me on what I can do with it, and I can take smaller pieces of it. When you get the individual muscle, you can make a little roast out of it. Last week when you were up hunting, we had my nephew on who works at Olympia Provisions. He's the executive chef there, and he talked about curing one of those muscles, using the whole muscle and just dry aging it, if you will, with some salts and stuff. And then he went through all of that. I won't repeat it again this week, but if you listened last week, he talked about that. But he also talked about using those roasts, if you will, that muscle. When you come up from above the knee, you'll see a natural split in the muscle, right, where there's one on the inside of the thigh, right, and one on the outside. Right. And he just was talking about separating those and removing them from the bone. And you've got two really nice roasts, maybe even three, because there's a third small muscle there. But I prefer that because then you can, there's just Lisa and I, there's only two of us, so it's a smaller meal. You can get two or three meals out of that.
Easily,
and
depending on the size of the
right
deer.
Now, I think that a great way for me, it's very lean.
Yeah.
It's very lean, so you've got to hydrate it, or you have to coat it in something, marinate it with something to get a little moisture back in that meat, right?
So I like the idea of boning it. Because it is so lean, it gives you the perfect opportunity to stuff it.
Sure. Sure, you can do that.
Yep. And I think, like, if you wanted to use some sort of vegetable mix, a compote, something like that. And then, of course, I'm going to probably put it on a rotisserie next to the fire and roast it slow. But I'm definitely going to wrap it with something.
Okay.
And I'm thinking a bacon weave might be perfect. Will your bacon be great to eat when you're done? No, probably not. Might be, but it's probably going to be a little overdone. But if you've taken the bone out of it and you don't put too much stuffing in it, it's not going to take that long to get it to 125, 130.
Right. Good.
And that's about all you want to bring it to.
Right. Don't go much higher than that because it'll dry out.
Right.
Even with the bacon weave on it. I think that I would probably, if I use a bacon weave, which is a great idea, I'm thinking on a rotisserie, it might fall off until it gets seared.
You're going to truss it.
Yeah, you're going to put a truss work on that and hold it down. Because, again, I agree with you. You don't want to eat the bacon, really, because if you're getting the internal temperature, the bacon's going to be
done. Keep it for your dog.
Yeah.
Your dog will love it.
Dog will love that. Exactly.
But I do like the thought of doing something with a little bit of cheese and some herbs, maybe some ricotta, something like that, you can keep inside it.
Right.
The key is to,
Swiss or
to
maybe
wrap
that,
it nicely.
It's going to hold,
so
or a mozzarella
it.
That's going to hold. It doesn't ooze out when it gets to temperature. But again, that internal temperature, you're only 125, 130. It's not going to get that hot where the cheese wants to move too much.
Well, aged Parmesan does a really nice job that way, too.
Yep, exactly.
So once you've basically butterflied that piece of meat, you've got a nice sort of flat piece of meat.
Yep.
You have a great opportunity to sprinkle some fresh aged Parmesan on there, and then maybe, I don't know, I might put some green onions in there.
Asparagus.
And I don't know that I would run in that direction, but, you know, everybody's got their own their thing they're going to do. But definitely some nice sweet onions and, I don't know, you can take it in a million, pesto, you can take it in a million directions.
Right. That would be, with that bacon weave, if we're back to that, because again, it adds the moisture to the outside, that works really good in a smoker, too.
Absolutely. It's
because you're not moving it then.
Absolutely.
And then you can just let that bacon weave with the seam, if you will, where the two ends come together.
You just sit there.
Set down and just let it smoke. Put a thermometer in it. And again, don't overcook it. But that is a great way to bring that roast to temperature.
And if you don't have a smoker, You had a guest on the show. You had a guest host replacing me last week.
Right. Yep. Brad Ensing. He was from Garrett's Appliance.
There you go.
And we talked a little. You know what? They're like everybody else. Their appliances, there are shortages in the marketplace. They had grills and smokers, but
do they still sell that little stainless Tex?
Yeah, but he said that they're impossible to get right now.
Oh no.
You know, so
that's
but we
an
talked
awesome
about
smoker.
Yeah, right.
We
talked about.
You can
about
start
it.
At $400. You can end up with a killer smoker.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But he just basically said that that stuff's tough to get. But a smoked piece of rump roast, if you will, is really what we're talking about.
And I'm probably going to brine it, too. I might go with, like, some red wine and a little citrus and some, like, garlic EVO.
Right.
And just do something like that for 12 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds
good. I know.
Good.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, I don't know if you've noticed in the stores, but pork right now is really inexpensive. And you can get the whole loins, those inside tenderloins, the chops, you know, the big box, one of our local big box stores buries a pork steak under pork chops when they sell it to you. It's kind of funny. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about bone-on pork chops and maybe a couple recipes for that. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys, and we're on pre-Thanksgiving. This is the weekend before the upcoming Thanksgiving, and we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some alternatives to the Big Bird. We'll hit the Big Bird, too. But right now, we were going to talk a little bit about pork. I don't know where you're shopping, but at our meat market, Sobe Meats, or if you go to the big box stores around, I think you're going to find that pork is, right now, it's inexpensive. We talked to Tim Sobe about that a few weeks ago when he was on the show, and he mentioned that they had been freezing it and there was a glut, and now they're kind of unloading it on the marketplace, and therefore it's pretty inexpensive. But it's still great meat. It's one of the premier meats to put on a grill or a smoker, so we thought we'd hit on that. What's your thoughts, Bob?
I'm still thinking about venison.
Yeah.
Bone-in, I think you really like bone-in pork chops.
I do. They're my
favorite. So what would you do on the grill with bone-in?
Well, there's lots of flavor profiles. I don't think there's not much I need to do to it if I've got an inch-thick chop with the bone-in. You know, it's like a little T-bone. It's the pork's T-bone, if you will. There's a little itty-bitty kind of loin side, and there's a little hog strip side, if you will. And the flavor's really good in that. There's usually a little fat cap on it. So I know that fat's not good for you, but I'm also a big proponent of fat as flavor. And so a little bit of fat on a bite of pork is just a wonderful flavor in your mouth. Now, lots and lots of seasonings that I can put on that, but I just put a dry rub on it usually if they're already cut into chops. You know, I've got two that are my go-tos. One's apple and one's a Memphis profile. The Memphis is a little bit citrusy. The apple's got a little bit of sugar, and it's a little sweeter. Both of those, I think that like beef, I bring it to room temperature before I grill it. They're thinner than beef. They come up a little quicker. But I put that seasoning on when it's cold and let it come up to temperature with the seasoning on it, and it kind of draws it in, especially if you've got a salt profile in your seasoning. It'll draw it into that meat, and then it's a quick cook. You know, my mom, when we were growing up, she cooked pork to death because she was, you know, afraid of the trichinosis. But that's gone. Yep. That's way out of our history. And it went by with buggy whips, I think. And you know what? I want a pork chop 140 degrees maybe. It's okay if it's a little pink on the inside for me. I don't need to go to hockey puck hard like my mom did every time we had it. I grew up hating pork chops. And now it's one of my favorite things that I have on the grill. Because if they're done right and they're not overcooked and they're seasoned properly, it's a wonderful piece of meat. Very lean. The fat is usually around the cap. The muscle meat is pretty lean. And so if you want to avoid the fat, then you just, you know, cut it off when it hits your plate. I'm always going to cook it on there because it's pretty. It gets dark colored and it gets a little crispy.
It is a nice look, yeah.
Right? So
if I get my option, I'm going to have Tim's people cut that chop at about an inch and a half.
Yeah. Right.
Because if you just go to your supermarket, they're going to be like shoe leather.
Yeah.
So I want a
half
nice thick, at least an inch.
Right.
But inch and a half is beautiful. Then I'm big on pork chops getting tenderized, so I'll take my Jacquard out, and I'm going to pound that thing for a little bit. It's tougher to do bone in, but you can still do it. And then to go along with your rub, I might put it in some apple cider for a couple of hours while it warms up on the counter.
Yep.
I might just let it marinate, come up to temp. Right. I'm not going to leave it in there a real long time, and then when I pull it out, I'm going to put my whatever spices on it I want and throw it right on the grill.
Right.
And I'm not going to bring it to anything higher than like 140.
Right. Right. Exactly. But that apple cider on there is, you know, cider's got a little bit of consistency to it, and it'll stick.
And it's got a little acid.
Right, to the chop. So the acid tenderizes, but it also creates a wet surface for your seasonings to stick to. And like you said, right out of the cider, maybe let it drip a little bit so it's not running all over your counter. But other than that, season it up, throw it on the grill, man.
You could also pat it down with a paper towel and put some EVO on it.
Yeah. But you know what? The cider's enough moisture.
I think it is.
Yeah. Yep.
You can get ridiculous about your...
You know, the other thing with deer camp still going on, right? We got till the end of the month. It's only the 21st, 22nd this weekend. Smoking those pork chops and then...
Before you go
yes. And then taking them with you and then just throw them in your cast.
Or just going to your favorite butcher and buying his smoked pork chops.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of
folks out there just don't have a smoker.
Right.
Or maybe have never brined meat to smoke like that.
Right.
And when you smoke pork chops... or whole loin, or however you're going to do it. Most people will brine an entire pork loin for like 24 hours, and then they'll smoke the whole thing with their rub on it, and then they'll cut the chops. A lot of these that you see in the shop, you'll see the smoke ring around it and clean meat, and you can tell they cut it after they smoked it. And it's just a beautiful look.
Right.
Now,
maybe you could touch a little bit on a brine. I'm sorry, but I want to because that's a key component of smoking a whole loin is putting it in that brine, I think.
Yes, and you can look up your own brine recipes, but, I mean, basically a salt and sugar recipe with water, 2 gallons of water.
Right. Yep. And you want to submerge it.
3 cups of sugar and a cup of salt, something like that.
And you're going to you can put some aromatics in there, too, if you want
it. I absolutely would, whatever you like. But, you know, I always tell you I'm a big friend of thyme, but I also like a citrus. Just be careful of the acids you throw in there because you don't want to cold cook it.
And you got to keep it cold. This is not a room temperature thing. You got to put it in the brine, submerge it. A big 2 gallon, depends on how big of the meats you are.
A cooler.
A cooler
or in your garage.
Right.
Yep.
And then throw a bag of ice on top of the bag of the brine, sealed up in like a, you know, garbage bag or a big Ziploc, 2 gallon Ziploc or something, how big ever your meat is.
Yeah, and if you want to just brine individual pork chops, you can do that too and smoke them.
Yep.
But doing a loin is nice because then when you slice them, it's just really pretty. It's a beautiful look. I'm so hungry.
Right.
But I used to just go to, years ago, I used to go out to a place called Jones's Meats.
Yeah.
And buy his smoked pork chops. It was the first place I had ever found them. It was before Sobey was even open. And then I found that his were just a little too salty.
Yep.
So you got to be careful on that brining process.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
the sugar is much more forgiving than the salt.
And you're gonna, if they're smoked through, then you could eat the whole. You could eat them as they are smoked. But but I prefer to hit them in a cast skillet, put a little caramelization on them, maybe with a little bit of EVO in the bottom of the pan, and just put a little color and
but if you're at deer camp, you're going to have a fire going every night.
Right.
So if you have a grate or if you have a tripod with a grate, whatever you're doing. Putting some grill marks on it looks really good, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I brought my little hibachi up, and I never pulled it out once.
Really?
No, because I made stew and chili and all this stuff. We just kept heating food up. I had a microwave at deer camp for the first time.
Hello. We're in modern times. Hey, you've got an item on here that I want to talk about, grilled potato salad.
Yes.
Tell me what that's all about.
I couldn't find the recipe I used the one time I ever made it, but this one looked close to what I can remember. But it came off myrecipes.com, and it looks pretty much like mine looked. It's basically using the Yukon Gold potatoes.
Ooh, I like those,
and you slice
guys,
them down the middle in half, and you get your grill hot, maybe 400 degrees, and with an area left unheated for indirect heat. Put the potatoes in oil and shake them around a little bit, and then put them flat side down for about 8 to 10 minutes in the indirect spot.
Okay. So you're roasting them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or you can put them on the grill over the heat and grill them until they're about where you want them, and then move them over to the indirect. It depends on how hot your fire is, if you even know.
Right.
You'll find the place.
Yep.
But make sure there's lots of oil on them, because...
Great use of Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO.
Yeah, or butter.
Or butter. Either one of those would be really good on there.
So then you put some EVO and some mustard, vinegar, oregano, and capers, chili flakes, anchovies in a large bowl. Mix them together, and then you stir in. You cut those potatoes up. You stir them in together, and believe it or not, the anchovies make it.
Mm, sounds good. Sounds really good. Coming up next, it might not just be your turkey for Thanksgiving. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out, and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. It is the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend before Turkey Day, and we've covered a little bit of venison roast, and then we just hit some pork chops, and sooner or later we got to get to turkey. But before we do that, salmon is where I'm at. And I made a recipe, or excuse me, I made a dinner. My bride, Lisa, is on a health kick right now. We've all done it. And she's got to eat healthy. So I said, what can I do to to put something in front of her that's that tastes good and it's appetizing.
You used to bust my chops when I would do that.
Right, I understand.
Now you're married to one.
Well, I got it. Yeah, right? Yeah, life changes, man.
How about that?
Right. But anyway, I bought these things. They're cedar papers. It's like a cedar plank.
Oh, I remember those.
Only they're papers.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like 6 inches by 6 inches.
We used them at an
inches.
Event once.
Yeah,
you
right,
brought them.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where'd you find them?
Online.
Oh.
Somewhere. But anyway, they're like as thin as a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's cedar.
Shaved.
Right. It's shaved. So
really
what you do
cool.
is you take like 4 ounces of salmon, just a little cross cut of the filet, okay? And then I put seasoned salt, not much. I put garlic powder, and I put horseradish on the top of there. And then I took 2 pats of butter and put on top of that, and then I put a lemon disc, a slice of lemon on top of the butter. And then these papers, they're pictured
square.
So
you're going to soak them before you do that.
Well, yeah, the papers are soaked. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Yeah, because you don't want them to catch on fire.
Right.
They need to be wet, but and only like 10 minutes.
And you don't want them to crack either.
Right. So you take this piece of paper and you set the salmon in the middle. You put all that stuff on it and you fold one over the other. And you take a piece of butcher's twine, tie around it with a bow, and it looks like a little present.
How pretty!
Yeah, and you put it on. I put it on direct heat on a medium to high grill. 5 minutes. The salmon is kind of poached in there because it's wet, and the butter's melted, and the lemon and the horseradish and the seasonings. Amazing. Oh, I put dill. I had some dill on it, too.
You're a wizard, Joppy.
Oh, man, but it's really good. And you can find these cedar papers. They're on any
you're
place online.
You're just like the kitchen magician.
Man,
you know that?
They're good, though.
The stuff you find
super
online,
easy.
I'm not even lying.
Super easy. So
I ain't even lying.
Is it time to get to the bird?
I don't know. It'd be pretty hard to top that salmon wrap.
Yep.
And honestly, if I'm going to eat salmon, I want cedar with it. Because it kills the funk.
Yeah.
And I'm not a funk person.
No, I get it.
I saved that funk for the dance floor. So, smoking your turkey. Big Gretch says you can't have Thanksgiving, but should you decide to do so?
If you have a funeral, though, you can have how many?
Yeah, so you can have 6 people for Thanksgiving or 30 for a funeral. So I'm having a funeral for my pet turkey.
You're
all invited.
Yeah.
You know, smaller groups maybe, smaller turkey.
Right.
Nah, not for me. I'm going to go with a big turkey.
Right.
And we had a few people that had to cancel out just because they live so far away. But we're still going to have a good-sized crowd. So we'll do a 16, 17-pound fresh one. You hear that, Tim? Put one on order for me. I'm going to probably smoke it on my Cajun.
Okay. That's a charcoal grill.
Yep. And my wife honestly loves smoked turkey now. Although I got a feeling at the before it's all over with, she's going to want to roast it in the oven. But let's say you do smoke it. I'm going to brine it if it's fresh.
Right.
If it's one of those that says Butterball with plastic on it, you never brine those.
Because they've already been brined.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
So if you want to soak it in water for a day, feel free.
Right.
But so once you get it out of there, you're going to have a nice big fresh bird. Pat it dry and put some of your favorite EVO on the outside, whatever flavor you like. The blood orange might be nice. I'm going to probably leave the spice up to my wife because she's going to want to make a gravy if she does it in the oven. Smoker or gravy, smoker or oven, you're going to use very similar spices.
Right.
But she likes to, she puts like cloves in the skin. She cuts little slots on them, I think, and puts cloves or something like that. Rosemary.
Right.
Rosemary's baby, something like that, puts in the skin. And then I'm going to use like a Himalayan salt. I really love that stuff.
Right. That's pink salt?
Yeah. Yep. I got a grinder with it, and it just comes out like a rainstorm.
Well, you put a little oil on there and you salt that skin, it's going to help it crisp up.
It sticks so beautiful.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to help it crisp up. And you're generally not eating the skin anyway, but it's beautiful to look
Some
at.
Some people do.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
and we're going to bring that thing to about 162 and then cover it in foil and set it on the counter and let it rest a half hour. It'll come up to over 165. But you want to put that thermopen in the joints, the hip joints,
right?
Because that's going to be the deepest, coldest spot on the turkey.
Right.
Don't poke the breast to find your temperature.
Right.
Leave the breasts alone.
Right. Now, I got a question for you. Stuffing in the bird or on the side?
Oh, I love it in.
Right. So that'll impact your cooking time.
Yep.
Because if it's a hollow cavity, that it's going to cook quicker than if you got that cavity full of stuffing. I, too, prefer the stuffing in the bird, yep. But we make both because some people don't.
Well, my wife will take the stuffing out of the bird. She'll throw it in muffin tins and bake it.
Ooh.
And they get a little crispy. It's phenomenal.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
That sounds great.
Yeah, they are.
Right. So like little stuffing
like
muffins.
Like a throat roll.
Right. It's a stuffing muffin.
If you go,
I think there's something there, man.
To Gulf Shores, Alabama, you know what a throat roll is.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you like for sides? Do you got any that are your favorite?
I leave that up to the missus, but I love fresh cranberries.
Do you really?
She does a cranberry sauce and... There's something about it. When I was a kid, I didn't like it.
Is it bitter or is it
got a little sweeter? No, they're sweet.
Are they?
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of cranberry juice. But with that grilled potato salad I was talking about before, if for the full belly deli with the bone-in pork chops and grilled potato salad, I wanted you to do a mushroom real quick.
Sure. I like to grill whole portobellos.
That's right.
The big cap.
Yep.
They're anywhere from a baseball to... I don't know, a beach ball. No, they're not that big, but you know what I mean?
They get big.
They're any size you want. I take
if you've seen these in a store,
it's the cap, you flip it over, it's got all the little fins in it, yep. It's like gills of fish. I take those out, okay?
You do? I do.
I scrape them out a little bit just because I don't like the mouthfeel of them. I never get them grilled enough that little slipperiness goes away.
Oh.
So I take those
out.
It's
the texture thing.
Right, yep. And I put a little oil on them. And then put the cap side down, put the gill side down first, and then grill that, get it hot, and this has got whatever seasonings you like on it. And then I flip it over and finish it with the cap side down and the gill side up. And a lot of times I'll put a stuffing in there of whatever it is you might like. You know, you got some crab meat in there with a little butter and breadcrumbs.
Yeah, or some breadcrumbs really with a little Parmesan.
Yeah, really, yeah. Really good. But
nice.
That's a great little...
I'm so
those
hungry.
Are quick and easy. Those are quick and easy on your grill.
Cool.
So coming up next, last thing for the turkey day, don't let your meatloaf. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Today's man law number 40. Make sure your family is taken care of in case the worst happens.
That's exactly right. Funny you say that. Again, having a new bride, life changes. And I just did my 2021 benefit enrollment and bought some life insurance, extra life insurance for
me.
So that if something happens to me and I fall out of the tree or whatever it may be, choke on a steak bone, that mom is taking care of.
And there's lots of ways to take care of your family in case the worst happens.
Right.
Let's say the election stays with the president and those Antifa people come out again and it gets really crazy.
Right.
You got to take care of your family then, too.
Right.
You got to look out for them.
So that kind of taken care of is maybe going to Allen Bob's and getting a new handgun.
If you need more, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But buy your ammo while you're doing it because you got to pay attention. That stuff comes and Merle said it's gone in a day.
Yeah.
A pallet.
Right.
So maybe study some Sun Tzu, Art of War.
Right. Yeah. Whoever she is. But anyway.
well, you know, it's like when you're weak, portray strength, and when you're strong, portray weakness.
I see. Okay, grasshopper. So we're going to finish with a little meatloaf on the grill?
I love it.
I do too, man.
I love it.
One of my favorite things.
I
like it on a smoker
ended up doing it years ago when I had that big green egg that's in your garage now.
That's my big green egg that you used to have.
Well, anyway, I used it all the time, and I put a pizza stone on it once and did some pizzas, and I got good at that. And my wife makes a fantastic meatloaf. Mm-hmm. So I tried to copy her meatloaf recipe, and I thought, man, I'm going to put that on that pizza stone. So I got the stone a little bit hot on the fire. Always let the fire get going for a while, and then I threw the stone on for 10 minutes or so, and I put my meatloaf on it. Mm-hmm. And what was happening is with regular hamburger, there's lots of fat. Sure. That kept running off and creating that savory smoke.
Right.
And it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, years ago, Pat Ringler from Chase Creek Smokehouse was listening to the show. And I saw him like a week later. We're sitting there having a beer at his cocktail lounge on the side of the smokehouse. If you've never been to Chase Creek Smokehouse, you need to find a reason to get there. It's on US 10, 6 miles west of 131.
Right. Now, Northern Michigan.
You don't need a reason to go to that area other than Chase Creek Smokehouse. Okay.
It's that good.
I just went there again when I was at deer camp, and I'll tell you that. But anyway, he said, I listened to that segment, and he said, man, that sounded crazy. And he said, so I put a bunch of them in the smoker, and he said, we sold out, and it's on my menu all the time now.
Right.
Which was a great compliment.
Yep.
Because it was just a brain fart for me. But I went there, I met my buddy Kirk up there, and I brought my brother-in-law Paul, and we got to have my favorite thing he makes, and one of them is that shaved prime rib Philly sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, is it gorgeous. I'm going to post pictures on the Grilling Guys Facebook page if I'm not banned.
Right. Well, you're not banned. It's all good. But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hope you got your deer, but if you didn't, get out, be safe. Climbing up and climbing down in frosty mornings, those steps can be slippery.
Use a strap.
Right. Hang on to yourself and get out there and enjoy some of Mother Nature. You don't have to social distance when you're in the deer woods. So take care, and we'll talk with you next week.
Strap it on.